Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy." Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow, by revealing to the world the infinite love of God, that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. I am your host this evening. Pray that all had a wonderful week thus far, and as we're in the preparation hour, that we will continue to be blessed ever so much more as we come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and to come together as family on this prayer line. Those that are joining us via the internet and also by the phone, we want to welcome you. Happy Preparation Day, brothers and sisters. And we will start with a word of prayer. Lord, the Lord is good. He's worthy to be praised. And the psalm said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If the birds can praise the Lord, what more we that are made in his image? Amen. So let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. We thank you for seeing another day, Lord. Many did not wake up this morning. Many are sleeping in their grave right now, Father, waiting for your soon return, Lord, because we know the dead in Christ shall rise first, Lord. We ask that you will continue to be with us, that you will guide us, that you will reprove us, that correct us, O Father, so that we can be obedient, so that we can be led to the truth, and we can continue to walk in the narrow path, O Father, that you have put before us. We know that the Sabbath is made for us, O Father, and we should delight in the Sabbath, O Father. Forgive us when we have failed to or when we did not know, Father. Help us, O Lord, from this day forward to be a blessing, to be a help to others, to direct them to you and not to self, and to tell others of your soon returning, Lord. There's many out there, Lord, that have not seek you. They don't have a relationship with you, O Father. And help us to find them and to reach them and to cry aloud and fear not, and show your people their transgression. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We ask that you will be with each family, especially the speaker today. I ask that you will cover him under your blood, O Lord. I ask that you will touch him, O Father, in the name of Jesus, so he can be an instrument rightly used to bring this message this evening. And each and every one of us, that we may be on one accord, just praising you, O Lord, and glorifying, magnifying your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. And I just want to share the reading. Evening, it is taken from D.A., Desire of Ages, Desire of Ages, amen? And it reads, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Jesus said, the institution that God has established are for the benefits of mankind. All things are for your sake. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or anything present or things to come are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 22 through 23. The law of 10 commandments, of which the Sabbath form a part, God gave to his people as a blessing. The Lord commanded us, as said Moses, to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive. Amen. So we want to be amongst 144,000. Amen. Continue reading. And that is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And through the psalmist, the message was given to Israel. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Psalms 100, verse 2 through 4. And of all who keep the Sabbath from polluting it, the Lord declare, even then will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyous in my house of prayer. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 through 7. And again, this is taken from Desire of Ages, page 288, paragraph 1. Amen. Amen. What a blessing to know we are God's creation, and all that belongs to him belongs to us. But we have to be obedient. We have to be temperate. We have to keep his law and his commandment. Amen? Because if we don't do these things, we are professing that we are none of his. So may the Lord have mercy upon us where we have failed and come short. And may we seek him, brothers and sisters, and especially now in these last days. He's soon to come, and he's coming back for a people without spot or wrinkle. Is that you? Is that I? We have to search ourselves and see if we are those that will prove God right. Amen. So if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, a song of meditation, please press 1 now so that I can open your line. We will be starting on time or a little before time because Pastor Hayes, Briers, B-Y-R-E-R-S, Briers, Sir Norman will be coming on time. So please press 1 so that I can open your line. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but a grievous word stir up anger. And, you know, so much time in my discourse with people, I see this, and I just thank the Lord for his words, and I thank him for his promise to each and every one of us. If we will take these promises, if we will read these words and apply to our hearts, we will know how to treat others. When they're angry, we will know how to go about our daily life and be Christ-like to those that we come in contact with. Amen? So again, if you have a testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading, you can press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. 518-482, happy preparation day. Your line is now open.
Good evening, everyone. Mm-hmm. Happy Sabbath, yes, but I just would like to, first, I have to say I'm very thankful and grateful to be alive, to be on this line this evening, because this week was a very, you know, for me it was good, although I got a lot of bad news, but I just want to give God praise and thanks that I am here and I can open this worship with this song I would like to sing to open our Father, again, in Jesus' name we meet. Okay? So I'm going to sing this song to open our meeting tonight. It says,
Father, we can in Jesus' name remain. And bow in penitence beneath thy feet. I say to thee, our grateful voices raise to sue for mercy and to sing thy praise. Oh, we would bless before thy ceaseless care, and all thy love from day to day declare. Is not our lives with only mercy's grace? Does not thine arm encircle us above? Alas, unworthy of thy boundless love, to oft with careless feet from thee we rose, but now encouraged by thy word we come, returning sinner to our Father's home.
And the last verse,
oh, by that name in which all fullness dwells, oh, by that love that every love excels, oh, by that blood so freely shed for sin, oh, bless mercy, then, unto us.
So that is my little song to open my important These Words from God. I want to speak about doctrine, the song doctrines. And I just want to quote a few verses from God's word here. And we should know that it matters. It matters what one believes, so long as he is sincere, right? It matters. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth. So for that question, it matters what we believe. In the Joshua think it's immaterial what God, the Joshua think it's immaterial what God Israel saw? Yes. Did he think that was immaterial? It says, now therefore, Joshua 24, 14 and 15 says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But Joshua here says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that question is, yes, Joshua was concerned with what God he served. You know, the influence of idolatry worship is very degrading. How many of us determine the truthfulness of any doctrine? How do we determine the truthfulness of any doctrine? You ever think about it? To know whether it's true or not. we have to prove all things, right? And hold fast to that which is good. That is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. So we have to prove that it is from the Bible and that the Bible only. That is how we could hold fast to things that are truth, truthfulness of doctrine. And of what kind of doctrines? What kind of doctrines do we should we be aware of? What kind of doctrines? In Ephesians 4:14 it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So we are not to be carried away by every wind of doctrine. And what is the wind of doctrine? What is the wind of doctrine? When we read about the winds of doctrine, what comes to your mind? Is calling doctrine a wind? Or does it makes it a wind? Touch? No. That is wind of doctrine which is not sustained by the word of God. If it's a wind of doctrine, it must be sustained by God's word. It must be in the book. As one preacher used to say, if it's in the Bible, I want it. If it's not in the Bible, I don't want it. And for what all scripture is profitable? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, and it's profitable for doctrine, right? So I'm going to stop right there because I know we have a lot of people online who would like to share. But I just wanted to read these words from God. And I'm thankful this evening to be here to give God praise and thanks because I could have been somewhere else. But God is good. God is good. And he is great. Paula. I just want to thank you for opening my line. I don't know. I want to generalize in our memorial service would be on Sunday, but I don't know how to get the link to you. So I just thank God for the Sabbath, right? That we can come here and always meet in Jesus' name and grateful voice raise our hearts in grateful voice, and I love to sing. So it's part of me to just give God praise every day, every single day. I give God praise and thanks because we are living in such a unpredictable world. So many people I know have just passed suddenly, and I am thankful to God for being here this evening. So, Father, this evening I just want to give you praise and thanks for the wonderful way in which you have kept me in my travels this week around the city, and you have kept all of us who are on this line, not me alone, but all of our other brothers and sisters. And I pray, Lord, that you will give them the strength and give them the courage and to know and to read from your word and to know what it is to believe sound doctrine. Don't be blown away by all kinds of things that you hear, but you have to know what the Bible says. And only if we know what the Bible says can we be faithful to God. So, Father, this evening I want to thank you for your Sabbath day of rest. It's a day of rest and gladness, and I'm thankful that I can come here this evening on this line to give you praise and thanks, and not only me, but all my other brethren, brothers and sisters. So, Sister Carla, thank you for opening my line. God bless, and everyone have a happy Sabbath. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Consumoli, for coming on and sharing and your song, word of encouragement. It's always a blessing to hear you on the line. I see your number, so I will forward you my number. And so you can send me the link or contact me. I see the number, so I'm not sure if it's a cell or a house number, but I will, get in contact with you somehow. So praise the Lord for you, my dear sister. It's always a blessing to come and hear familiar voice and new voices and just coming together to give God the praise and the glory. Amen. So I will go to the next caller again. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry. I will open the line for 518-951. Happy Preparation Day. Your line is now open. Check, see if your line is on mute. I cannot hear. Check, see if your phone is on mute.
You're hearing me? Hello?
Yes, now I'm hearing you. Yes, good evening,
okay.
Sister Powell.
Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell calling from Kingston, Jamaica. I just want to thank God for the Sabbath. Thank God for listening to my dear sister, reading and studying and showing the truth. The Lord wants us to settle in the truth. And we are so thankful to know that, you know, he gave us the word, you know, that we can follow his will. I just want to share this little testimony. We had a lot of rain, my dear. God had sent down the water to water the herd so that the crops will be truly growing and ready for reaping someday, you know, and also the plants that were dry. So God is so good to us. I will just, my dear beloved sister, Sabbath, happy Sabbath, and, you know, God wants us to remember the Sabbath day in which that he have been using me so that I was able to invite a lot of my brothers and sisters in the community Sabbath to church. We just pray that they will fulfill their promise as they told the Lord that they will be going. I will be coming to church tomorrow. So I'm going to sing this little song. Don't forget the Sabbath. The Lord, O God, had blessed of all the weak, the brightest, of all the weak, the best. It brings reproach from labor. He tells of joy divine. His beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, everywhere. Come, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today. Who said to his disciples, I am the living way, and if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome. Come, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the Savior, dearest friend. Oh, gently loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome. Come, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome. welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Praise the Lord. Kind and loving, right?
We can't hear you, Sister Powell. You went mute again. Check your line, Sister Powell, please.
I think it's just the line because I am not muted. Amen. Yeah.
We can hear
you.
You can go ahead and pray
well,
now.
Maybe.
Yes, we
can. It's not really mute, but maybe he's by the system. Right? Father,
yes.
I'm just praying now. Father, I just want to thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. Lord, the enemy is trying his best, Lord, to end this prayer. But Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to know that you are our loving God. And we thank you, Lord, that you have power over the enemy. So this evening, as we gather at your welcome table, we ask you to pour your blessings upon each and every brother and sister who are here around your welcome table, to give you thanks for and praises for this blessed Sabbath day of rest, Lord, that we will be ready, dear Father, to be fellowshipping and to be sharing your words to those who we come contact with. Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour your blessings upon the speaker tonight. We ask you, Lord, the presenter, the host, Lord, our sisters and our brothers, our requests, prior requests that we have been asking you, Lord, and petition to you from the whole week to this blessed day. And this day, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, because you are God and you are the one who kept us and you are the one who have answered our prayer. So we want to say thank you this moment. Bless us as we gather here and help us, Lord Jesus, as we look forward, Lord, to listen to your word, the fresh bread from heaven. We ask you to pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon us. Use us mightily, Lord. And thank you again. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. God bless.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, again for joining us. Thank you for that prayer. We know the Lord hears us. He waits for us to come and to talk to him as a friend and to answer our request and our prayer in just the way that he can and in that that his perfect will may be done in our life. So we want to praise the Lord and thank him again for his goodness, his love, his mercy towards each and every one of us. Amen. All the way from Jamaica, Sister Powell is calling in, and it's just a blessing to hear her voice. She may be far, but yet she's, you know, with us in spirit, and she's with us, and we can hear her. And may we continue to pray for her and the project and the project and the people that's there in Jamaica and a different part of the you know, the world, so that God will be done in their life. Amen. Again, please press 1 so that I can open your line. I'll go ahead and open the line for the next caller. 225-337. Happy Preparation Day. Your line is open.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I would like to just read a scripture. I'd like to read Isaiah 58. I'm just going to read 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So I just want to give God praise because he tell us to keep his Sabbath holy, and he tell us to remember. So praise God to come to preparation day, to come to Friday, and to remember God's Sabbath is holy. And, you know, it's on our heart and our mind to be ready to accept what God says. So I just want to also just share a song and just to enjoy this Sabbath day. And it's going to be Shall We Gather at the River. And as we are gathering here on this Sabbath evening, what a blessing that was going to be. And when the Lord says, when this song says, shall we gather at the river, just as we are gathering here on the Sabbath day. So I'm going to try to sing it. Amen. And I'm just going to do two stanzas, the first and the last, so it won't take so long. Shall we gather at the river? Well, bright angels feed or have trod with the crystal tides forever, flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrim will cease. Soon our happy heart will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. So I just want to thank God. We gather in here on the Sabbath day, and he said they're going to gather at the river just to have that peace with God and be able to fellowship with one another there also. I just praise God for his word and the songs. So thank you, brothers and sisters, and thank you, Sister Caller, for opening my line. And may God bless and happy Sabbath to everyone. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing.
And happy Sabbath to Sister Powell.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank you again, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing and also sharing your song. God is good. He loves to hear the praises from his children. Because that's what we were created for, to give him glory and praise and honor. And it's a blessing because we'll be doing that in heaven. So it starts here. And it's a delight to be able to say, to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or this is my son, this is my daughter, you know, who I've been waiting for. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Amen. God is truly, truly good and worthy to be praised. So I will go to the next caller again. Blessed Preparation Day, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening. We have at least three more hands up. So we want to make sure that we get to those hands in time before we go to our prayer. Any more songs? If you can just do two standard so that we will have time for everyone else to share, please. I will go ahead and open the line for 272-770. Your line is now open.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Collett. This is Tymeco Preston from Pennsylvania, and happy Preparation Day to each and every one of you. And I'm so grateful to hear Sister Powell's voice. We miss her very much, and may we continue to pray for her and bless her ministry. So I do have a Bible scripture to read, Psalms 100. And I also am giving the Lord praise and honor and glory for another precious day of life and for bringing us through another week. I'm so grateful to the Lord that we're able to go out and preach the word and I'm so grateful I got a chance to speak to many people on my appointments. I've been placing the steps to Christ, and I thank God for that because I could not have done that without him. So I'm so grateful. I give him all praise and honor and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. So I praise your great and holy name today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And it's taken from Psalms 100, verses 1 to 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and he has that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a song I would like to sing, Sister Carla, and I'll keep it short, as you said. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The fairer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Sister Carla, and I just want to lift up this whole prayer line tonight, and I ask for prayers for myself, for my family, for my children, and lifting up you, Sister Carla, Sister Powell, and Sister Continelli and Sister Leola and all my precious brothers and sisters on this line. I lift you all up in prayer that the Lord will continue to bless, guide, and keep each and every one of you, each and every one of you on the prayer line, and have a blessed and happy Sabbath. Thank you. God bless you all. Love you. Thanks. Bye-bye. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for coming on and sharing your song and just sharing with us, just, you know, at any little thing we do to share, to encourage, to bless others, and to be thankful and grateful for what the Lord is doing and what he has done, and to, you know, to ask for prayer, not only for ourselves, but for others. It's a blessing, and it shows selflessness, you know. It shows that we are interested in others' salvation and others' welfare. And praise the Lord. Thank you again, my sister, for coming on and sharing. And we will go to the next caller. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for your patience. Welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry. It's Sabbath Preparation Day. Amen. So I will open the line for 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Palmer, Louisiana. I just want to thank the Lord for watching over us and waking us up this morning. I would like to read a devotion prayer. Excuse me. It went off. Oh, yeah, just a moment. Lord God, You have a plan for us, for life and for each day. Your morals will for us include both thou shalt and thou shalt not. We often fail to do both of these. Help us to be more sensitive to the teaching, ministry of your spirit, relying on him to use the word he reveals and the scripture to us and guide us every step of your Christianity journey. Amen. Amen. Oh, we thank the Lord for such powerful words that he give us to study and use for our advantage so that we can get to him in a straight way so that we can so his people can teach us that he appointed to teach us the right way to go. We have to search for ourselves, but then again we have to wait for the anointment to come. In the meanwhile, he gives the teachers that he already that appointed to teach us the word so that we can study to show ourselves approved too. And we thank God for all these teachers, because had not they came in our life, we would still be in the dark. So I thank God for all my brothers and sisters on Advent Light. I love my brothers and sisters because God loved us first, and we're supposed to love them. So I thank God for us on this line, and we come on here for a purpose, to love one another, to share God's word, to understand, to be obedient, and to pray that we may have a blessing in God's abundance love. So I thank God for each and every one of y'all, and I just ask to lift up each and every one that God may touch us in a certain way so we can become his child whole. Amen. That'll be all. No, John not coming on tonight. Y'all have a blessed evening. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Happy Sabbath to you also and your family. May the Lord continue to bless you as you grow. We're all growing. We're toddlers, young adults in Christ, and we're growing according to his will, his grace. Amen. So it's truly a blessing to come together, especially on the preparation day, to talk of the Lord's goodness, to glorify him and to magnify him. And by iron sharpening iron, we're practicing what we preach, or we should. As we come together, we learn as we go back out there and feed others as we're being fed. So it's just really a blessing again to join with my brothers and sisters. I'll go to the next caller. Thank you for joining us. 518-744. Happy Preparation Day. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And, what a wonderful night. Just hearing all the brothers and sisters coming on and praising the Lord. It's an awesome thing. And hearing Sister Powell's voice, I miss hearing her. And it's good to know that she's doing well down in Jamaica. And we will continue praying for her, that she will continue her ministry and also return to us safely here when it's her time. But I'm just praising the Lord, Sister. God is so good. He is taking care of myself and my family. My wife is having a hard time. She's having a struggle with her back and some other health issues. But God is sustaining her. She isn't able to do a whole lot other than when she gets home from work, she has to lay down because her back hurts so much. And so just asking prayers for her that we just started going to the chiropractor. She was taking some muscle relaxers, and they were started to give her bad dreams, and her arms started falling asleep, and she was having cramps in her legs, and come to find out is from the muscle relaxers. So she stopped those and started going to the chiropractor, and it hasn't It hasn't taken effect yet, but I know that, you know, they use only natural methods, stretching exercises and some light manipulations and some, you know, a little, some things like that. And so I'm just praising the Lord that she is able to go there and praying that that'll take effect quickly and she'll be able to get her back healed up. And I'm just... just wanted to share a couple of verses from Psalm 119, Sister. And Sister Continelli was on. I was very interested in what she had to say. That was just some beautiful verses, some passages that she was reading there. And it reminded me of some other ones here in Psalm 119, verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Open my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. So that is Psalm 119, 129 through 135, and just some beautiful words from the scriptures. And the scriptures are our only safeguard, brothers and sisters. And as Sister Continelli was talking about doctrine, if our doctrines are not based upon scriptures, they are based upon the house that is built upon the sand. And as we know, our doctrines in the Seventh-day Adventist Church are based upon Scripture. Therefore, they will stand as the house that was built upon a rock. So just continue praying for me and my family. Ashley, my daughter, who we've been praying for, she just went back to rehab on Tuesday. I have not heard from her because she does not have a phone. So I'm waiting to hear from her. We'll see how she is doing. Please continue to pray for her. We've been in close contact with her two youngest children and also her oldest daughter, too. I've seen her a couple times this week. And the children really want their mother. So I'm just praying the Lord will heal her of her addictions and that she will come to the knowledge that it was Him that heals her, and not any counselor, not any drug, but it is God, the healer, the sustainer of all of us, that will heal her. So please continue praying for my family. I will be praying for each one of you. Just thank each one for the songs. And Sister Tamiko, she's been sending out some very encouraging texts to me all week long, and I just thank the Lord for her. She is very kind and encouraging, and it's nice to hear, to see that when things are going a little bit rough, you get an encouraging word, and it's just it brightens the whole day. So I'm just praising the Lord for all my brothers and sisters, and I will get off of that, Sister, and I thank you very much for opening my line, and just praising the Lord for the Sabbath. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on and sharing. And yes, we will go into prayer now. It's prayer time, brothers and sisters. I'm going to ask Sister Powell to pray, to give us a word of prayer. And yes, we will continue to keep you and your family in prayer. Your wife, you know, as she's going through this trying time, and, you know, and your daughter, and just your family as a whole, because you as the head of the household, the priest of the household, all of this is upon you. But God said He won't come unto me all ye that laden and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we have to take all our burdens, our troubles, our care to the Lord. Amen. And we're going to do that in prayer right now. So, and His promises are true, and He said He won't give us more than we can bear. So He already made a way for you to bear it, not on your own strength, your own merit, but through him, you can bear it. Amen? And be strengthened and encouraged, my brother. So I will go ahead and open the line for Sister Powell as we see Pastor Norman is here. He's our guest speaker this evening. And Sister Powell is going to just give us a general prayer. We're going to start on time so that we can be finished on time and be temperate in all things so that, you know, we can get a good rest and wake up the Sabbath. Amen. So I will open Sister Powell's line to see if she can give us. She gave us a word of prayer, but just for the other added request, if she can give us a word of prayer and for Pastor Norman. Sister Powell, your line is open.
Oh, yes. I am here. You're hearing me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can hear.
Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, this is the time that each one of us can participate in the prayer. Lord, we have heard the requests, Lord, from our dear brother and Elder Rick, Lord, and we are asking you, please, to bow your head or kneel and just offer a word of prayer on behalf of these requests, you know, and then I will fit in. I will just give you a few minutes to prepare yourself. O most righteous and eternal Father, Lord, we want to thank you this evening, this blessed Sabbath evening, that your children can come boldly to the throne, present our burdens, our trial, our tribulation, our sickness, and all that we are going through, in which you have told us that burdens are lifted on Calvary, which you have told us that we must cast all our burdens and our cares upon the burden bearer, who is Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we come boldly to the throne, asking you to search each one of us we enter into the throne room, Lord, to present these requests to you. We ask you to search and to see if there is any wicked ways in us or things that you are not fully understand what we are doing. We are asking you, Lord, to remove everything from us. Help us, Lord, this evening, and the Holy Spirit that will pour upon your children, that we will be changed. Now, dear Lord, we are coming to the throne room where you are in the most holy sanctuary, presenting, Lord, our dear elder brother Rick to you and his family. Father, you have heard the burdens. You heard the trials. You heard the pain. And dear Lord, we present it again, second time, to you in the most holy sanctuary. We are asking you at this time, dear Lord, his dear beloved wife, Sister Rick. Father, we ask you, Lord, the pain is so grievous. We are asking you to touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet and allow her to get relief, Lord. You have created her in the image and likeness of you. You know everything that she's going through. But we know that we have a loving God who cares about us in his word, who said he wished above all things that his children, Lord, will be there to know that they have a loving Father who can heal all their maladies. So we place her in your hand, and not only she alone, his daughter and the other family members going through different situation, so we present it to you. And we are asking you tonight, Lord, our dear leader, elder, the head of the house. We ask you, Lord, to give him the strength that he needs if there is no other time. He needs your strength, Lord. He needs your strength, Lord, so that he can come to you and believe and trust you that you're going to work out every situation for him. Lord, we also lift up Brother Norman to you this evening. Father, we ask you to use him mightily to the Holy Spirit. The words that will be coming to your people, Lord, will be words of fresh bread from heaven. Words, Lord, to lift us up. Word, Lord, to heal us. Word, Lord, to believe that your coming is near and that your children must get ready, be ready for your appearance. Bless each heart, Lord, and every individual that is on this line, Lord, that we have been praying for, Sister Tamika and her family members, everyone, and actually, and also our church family members and our Advent Light family members, Lord. Sister Carla and her family members, Sister Leola and her family members, and everyone who she witnessed to, Lord. Sister Stephanie and her family members, and everyone who she witnessed and share your words to, Sister Leola and her family members, Jarvis especially, Lord, we present to you and the other family members, Lord. Myself and my family members, my children here, grandchildren, I place them to you. And those, Lord, who have given their request that they want to follow and to serve you, Lord, we ask you to pour your blessings upon them, that they will visit the church tomorrow and that they will fully surrender their lives to you. I present every brother and every sister to you, Lord. I also present, dear Father, the children, what they are going through, Lord. I place them in your care, Father, and every one of us on this line. Lord, we are asking you to pour your spirit upon us today so that we will be ready to listen to your words, to encourage us, to allow the Holy Spirit to reign within us, and that, again, we will all be ready. Thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' loving name with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister.
Thank you for that prayer, Sister Powell, praying for everyone. Amen. Amen. And again, I just want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters for joining us, and those that are joining us via the Internet. Welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line, and I will open the line for Pastor Norman. And Sister Leola or Sister Powell will close the line as I will, you know, I'm listening, but I'm driving. I might hit some dead spots, so they will close the line this evening. Amen. So I will go ahead and open the call for Brother Norman. Again, I just want to welcome all my brothers and sisters. Just a pleasure to see your numbers or to have you here on the prayer line. May you be faithful and may God bless you tremendously. Amen. So I will open the line. 706-816. Pastor Norman, your line is now open.
Yes. Okay.
Amen.
Good. Thank you. And hello to everybody. I'm really thankful to be able to be here and share with you again. The goal, the desire, the burden of my heart is that everybody that I come in contact with will do what the Lord has shown me, be drawn closer to the Lord, to understand what it means to have Christ as our righteousness. That is a message that we have to bear to each other and to the world. And it's the message of mercy that is going to go until Jesus returns. If you have your Bibles there, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. And I want to read that and make a comment on that really quickly. I'm kind of pausing here just for a quick second because I'm looking for another verse to go along with that. But let me just go ahead and read that. Revelation 14 and verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's interesting to me, Lord, as I was praying to prepare for this talk, this message, that verse the Lord brought to my mind, or rather the verse came to me earlier, but here is the patience of the saints kind of jumped out at me. And it's not something that we have to prepare for. It's something that we will have, the patience of the saints. And there are two reasons that pop in my mind as to why we will have the patience. One is found in Psalm 73. And if you turn to Psalm 73, you find out there that the Lord says something to us. And I'm still looking for that verse. Please excuse me here for a minute. You all know the verse. If you've been through Psalm 73, there it is. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. So that's one reason why we're going to have this patience, because we're going to be going through some extremely trying and difficult times, and we're going to be living our lives in such a way that we will be able to withstand all that Satan will throw at us, and it's not going to be easy. The other thing is, it's found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And these tie together. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And so we understand by these verses that through the process of the sanctuary, we are going to know that our sins are going to be completely blotted out. That is something that we're going to know. We're going to, prior to that time, there is going to be a time of Jacob's trouble where we're going to be struggling, and we're going to be trying to pray and ask the Lord, you know, have I forsaken every sin? Have I repented every sin? And we will be thinking and trying to bring up anything that we may have not asked forgiveness for or repented of, but we will come to the conclusion and the realization that we have. And this will give us patience, because we know that the end of all of this, we know at the end of all of this what's going to happen. So we will have patience. And What else does it say in Revelation 14? It says that they're going to have patience and keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I remember somebody asking, and I thought that too, this what I'm going to share with you one time. Somebody said to me, well, why wouldn't the Lord put the faith first and then keeping the commandments of God? Because we keep them by faith. This is true. But what's being said here is what we're going to look at this evening, is that the only possible way that we can keep the commandments of God is through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The only possible way that we can receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is through the ministry of Jesus Christ. The only way that we can prevail with Christ as our high priest is through the God-ordained method that he has revealed to us in the Old Covenant and now in the sanctuary in heaven on how to deal with sin. And that comes first through God's initiative, his grace, sending us the gift of repentance. We receive that gift, we experience it, and by experience it, I mean we live repentance. Our life becomes a life of repentance where we, from that moment on, we realize that if we do anything wrong, contrary to God's law, or if we offend anybody, our first reaction, our impulse, is to ask for forgiveness because we have that spirit of repentance. And our repentance, we're told, will deepen as time goes. And the more that we can repent, the more capacity that we will have to have the faith of Jesus. So the reason we're asking for forgiveness is because we're breaking God's commandments. That's why we repent. We're repenting because we have sinned against God our Father. And as we go through the process of righteousness by faith, we are declared righteous after we have repented. And then we can exercise faith and have the faith of Jesus, or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the imparted righteousness of Christ. So you can see how that order works perfectly there. And so what I want to do with that is, now, this is beautiful. Righteousness by faith, we're told, is a most precious message. But how do we get it? Like the rich young ruler, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How do I get it? How do I know that I have it? This is what I want to look at. And if you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, I'm going to go through Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, and the first few verses of Romans chapter 8. Now, you may think that's quite a bit to go through, but I'm going to try to go through it in such a way that I will bring out and highlight the points that need to be highlighted, and then continue on through that without taking much of a break. And if I can't finish it up, we can always do it some other time. Okay, Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, the reason he's asking that question is because of the last few verses in chapter 5, which I will read. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by the life of Jesus Christ our Lord. So there we can understand why he's asking that question, because some people might conclude, well, then, if this comes as a result of sin, then why don't we sin more? And in chapter 3, I believe it is, he says that people who say such things deserve damnation. So the answer is verse 2 in chapter 6. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That is what we want. That is what I want in my heart. How can I have this experience where I am dead to sin? This is beautiful. He answers this. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So Christ's death is something that we can partake of through baptism and only through baptism. There's no other way that we can partake of Christ's death. There's no other way in the scripture that's written unless you want to twist the scriptures. Therefore, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Powerful. So Paul is saying that if you've been baptized into Christ, what was it that caused us to be baptized? Were we baptized because we thought it was a good idea? Were we baptized because we were 12 years old, it was the right age? Were we baptized because someone else did, because somebody else influenced us, or because of some evangelistic series? What were we baptized for? Were we baptized for Jesus Christ? Were we baptized so that we could reveal our life of sin and carnal-mindedness would now be brought to an end, and we could live our lives in the power of the Holy Ghost in subduing every temptation, every cry that the body would have for indulgence? That's what we want. The baptism that we should have is, I want to be baptized because I see the love of God for me. I see what he has done for me. He has provided for me a way of escape from, number one, the power of sin in my life. Number two, the temptations of Satan. And number three, the capacity to live. He gives me the capacity to live a new and holy life. And as I continue in that patient overcoming, in the end, I will receive immortality. What does that do to us? Do we just take that information and go, okay, let me put it in this part of my mind, in this part of my library, in my brain, and say, I've been baptized, and so therefore, this is good. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm now a child of God. Where's the love? Where's the response from our hearts to what Christ has done for us and what he's doing for us? Where's the recognition of our decrepit sinfulness and his mercy and sparing us and God sending his son to give us another chance, another probation, where we can give up the life of sin and become partakers of the divine nature? Beautiful. Let's continue on. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That sounds like a promise to me. So if we have been planted in the likeness of his death, what was that? What does that mean, the likeness of Christ's death? Christ said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He went through giving up his entire life, his entire will to the Father. He just said, it is yours. I come here to do your will, oh my God, not mine. And so this is what we should have. Lord, I am going to give myself to you because of what you have done. I'm going to choose to do that. And I know that when I do that, and I know that when I die, that I'm going to be raised up again in the newness of life through the same power of the Holy Ghost that Christ was raised with. And I am going to have that power. If I have died like Christ, I will be raised like Christ. And I will have all that heaven has for me to keep me from sinning, to keep me as a powerful witness, to keep me as an encourager, one who has compassion and the ability to see in others their faults and their sins and to pray for them and to call them to come to Christ. Number six, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's not talking future. That's talking about right now. That henceforth, and this is why, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So what he's saying here is that if we have been planted like Christ in the same manner, given our will, give up, and we're raised in the newness of life, we are then dead to sin. This now becomes a life of believing and trusting in Christ, a life of faith. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Now, listen to this. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, in the same manner, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, as Christ died only once to sin, this is what this life of Christian, our Christian experience should be. We should die, yes, we die daily, but there is a one time where we make that baptismal commitment, and from that day forward, we just recommit. But the initial time, the first time, this is when we are declaring to the universe, I'm done with sin, I'm done with Satan, and I have chosen Christ to rule over me. The ruling power of sin from that day forward should be broken in us. And if it's not, there's two reasons for that. Number one, we didn't understand what we were getting into. Or number two, we haven't made the choice. And what falls under we didn't understand what we were getting into is two. One, we don't fully understand it. We may know the truth, but we don't grasp it, lack faith. Or second part of that would be we've been fed the wrong gospel. And this will not ever give us the results that we're reading here. False gospels are, and this is why Jesus told us over and over, do not be deceived. And this is why he started his ministry. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And this is still applicable today and will continue to be until he returns. Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. That's a choice. How do we make choices? By how we feel? If we do that, we're going to fail. But if we make the choice through our minds, like Paul did, then we can overcome. Keep your finger there. Turn quickly to Romans 1 and verse 9. It says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So I serve with my spirit. This is, it's not flesh. Spirit is pertains to the mind. So he's telling us right out from the outstart of this book that he does not serve God with his flesh. He does not serve sin with his flesh. He serves with his spirit and the gospel of his Son. All right, and then this is going to come up again as we continue to verse, when we get into chapter 7. Verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Members, what is he referring to? Members of the church? No. members in our body. Remember, not Paul, but James said that the tongue is an unruly member. So don't yield our members, our senses, our tongue, our ears, our eyes, whatever we feel, unto unrighteousness, unto sin, as instruments of unrighteousness, unto sin, but rather yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Therefore, all that we do, whether we drink or eat, all we should do should be done to the glory of God. Whatever we watch, whatever we listen to, whatever we speak, whatever we think, wherever we go, if we enter in a location that there's a foul smell, we need to get away from that foul smell, whether it be cigarette smokes or just garbage or dirty uncleanliness. All of it, our members are to be kept pure and holy. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. All right, so what does that mean? A lot of people use that to support the fact that now we don't have to keep the law, but now we're under grace, and God forgives us, and we don't need to keep the law, and Jesus did it for us, type of thing. So there's some confusion there, as you well know. But what he's saying here is that, because look what from verse 1, he's talking about our response to God's love. He's talking about what happens to us when we respond to God's love and enter into baptism and become one with Christ and live the life that Christ lived. So now what we do is we no longer use the law to justify ourselves. We no longer use the law, keep the law, in order to earn salvation, because we are under grace. It is given to us freely when we cooperate with God in his divine plan of salvation, teaching us that we must first repent, and then once we have repented, to look up to Christ as our Lord and Savior and High Priest in heaven, to ask for forgiveness, that we might receive the merits of Christ, that our sins might be transferred from us to Christ, away from us. Christ came here to take away the sins of the world. So now our sins are no longer on us, but they are placed upon Christ. They are set in the sanctuary in heaven, there waiting to be, if we remain patient and faithful to the end, to be placed upon Satan. What shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart, and that's the key, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. This is important because we sometimes, at Seventh-day Adventists, because we have been blessed with so much knowledge, we are bringing people in our into our church as a result of the correctness of the truth that we have been given. In other words, we can present evangelistic series, and people will be intellectually persuaded by the Bible that what we believe is true. And they will say, yes, this is what I'm going to do. It makes sense to me. It's the truth. But we have not focused enough on receiving that truth in the heart. Every truth and doctrine that we have is a description of the character of God, and is intricately involved in the plan of salvation. And we need to understand that. And all of that is done for our benefit. And the Lord wants to do two things. Jesus wants to do two things. He wants to love us, right? The second part of the commandments, to love your neighbor as yourself. That essentially is the synopsis of this last six. And then he wants to love God, and that's the synopsis of the first four. And so by saving us, he brings glory to God. And so the plan of salvation is not just for us, but it's to glorify God because of the lies and the work of Satan to bring God down from his holy throne and to try to make God look like a tyrant and to get us to believe those lies and not to go to him because of our carnal natures and our sinfulness. Verse 18, being made free from sin, and it's, I'm going to add something here, and its influence. The influence of sin in our conscience can be devastating to us. Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. All right. Now, this is something we need to understand, too. This needs to be a full-time thing. This is what he's talking about here. He's talking about a life of commandment keeping and the faith of Jesus, full time, not just when we're in church or when we're on a prayer line or not when we're out where we, you know, are witnessing at all times, specifically at home with our families. That's where it needs to be demonstrated because that's where it shows that we really have been transformed. I want to read a statement here. I'm not sure if I can find it real quick. But I think I can. And this is a wonderful statement from the Spirit of Prophecy. Okay, here we go. This is from Great Controversy from the 1888 edition, page 508, paragraph 2. All who are not decided followers of Christ are servants of Satan. In the unregenerate heart, there is love of sin and a disposition to cherish and excuse it. In the renewed heart, there is hatred of sin and a determined resistance against it. This is what we want. This is what Paul is talking about here. He wants us to understand that this is a possibility. In fact, he's asking us to do it, to live this life of faith. And when we fall, we don't have to stay down. We instantly repent, instantly ask for forgiveness, and know that our sins will be forgiven. And I'm going to share a little bit about that. I did last time, but I'll go that over that again so that we are certain of the process that God uses to cleanse us from sin and all unrighteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have the fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So this is what he's saying here, is that when we truly understand and are experiencing the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, that he talks about in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the fruit of true the true gospel is holiness. That's what the fruit is. That's how we know if we have the true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we are not living a life of holiness, then something's not right. We are either have the unregenerate heart, which we need to take care of, or we don't have the proper gospel. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we read that very often, and we just kind of move along. But let's look at that for just a brief moment. For the wages of sin is death. This is speaking of something that we all deserve, death. Not just dying, getting sick and dying, and then looking forward to a resurrection. Not the first death. This is talking about the second death. This is what we deserve. This is what we have earned. And there is not a single thing that we personally can do to reverse that. We have the death sentence hanging over us. And every time we sin, we are stepping into that condemnation. But thanks be to God for the gift of God. And the gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how do we get eternal life? Eternal life comes to us first and foremost when we begin our conversion, when we are baptized. We have eternal life. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But then again, if we sin, now we have to remedy that through God's ordained way. That is through repentance and faith in Christ and having the faith in Christ's merits to cleanse us and to be substituted for us. So this is something that we should not just read over lightly. This is beautiful. Chapter 7. Now he's changing something. He's changing his direction just a little bit because he wants to have us to understand more of what he's talking about in chapter 6. And when the Lord opened this to me, I was so thankful. I would have to say I was pretty excited. And it was something I had been searching for quite a while. So I hope it's a blessing to you. I'm sure it will be. Chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Right? So this is common sense. He's going to bring some other point out here. So kind of like what he's saying before, you know, is that if we are dead, then sin has no power over us. And if we are physically dead, then the law has no power over us, right? No dominion over us. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Now, keep that in mind and take a drink of water. Hold on a minute. The law of her husband. This is something that he's bringing out and he's going to separate from the law of God. And you'll see it in a minute. So then if, verse 3, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law. What law? The law of her husband. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. Now there's bringing in another law, the Ten Commandments. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, some of you may see it right there. What he's saying is that when we were baptized into Christ's death, the old man within us, the carnal man, the ruling power of sin died, and we were raised in newness of life. So because now that man died, we are free from the law, and what he called it here, the law of her husband. We are free from that law that says that we can't be married to another because we have died through Christ's death. So now we are free to become married to another. And that other one is Christ. Before that, we were married to our flesh. This is what he's saying. And we did what the flesh asked us to do. What the flesh craves for, we did. We were powerless. But when we died, the flesh died, we were raised in newness of life, and now we can marry Christ. We wanted to be married to Christ before that by trying to do those good things, but we couldn't. There was something missing. We didn't have the freedom, and nor did we have the right to be married to Christ while we're married to the flesh. But we wanted to be. Verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held in marriage to our flesh, that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not the oldness of the letter. So, this is what he tells us, that when we were married to the flesh, we wanted to be married to Christ, but we couldn't because we were one with our flesh. But once that flesh died, we're raised and become joined with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined unto Christ is one spirit. Now we become joined unto Christ. We're one spirit, and now we serve God by the Spirit, as Paul did right in the beginning. No longer do we read the Bible and say, okay, I must do this, I must do this, I must do this. And it's become something that's just stuck in our mind, something that we feel that we need to do, and there's no love involved whatsoever. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence or greed. For without the law, sin was dead. Well, this law's always been around, so what is he talking about? Verse 9, for I was alive without the law once. In other words, I thought I was keeping the law, and so everything was fine. I was living my life according to God's will. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, according to righteousness of the law, perfect. Everything, I knew it. I was doing it. But when the commandment came, sin revived, died. He saw himself for who he was. And this righteous, holy man that he thought he was, died. He realized he was a sinner. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. So he was deceived by sin. He was actually living a life of sin while doing all the things that he thought God was requiring of him. Isn't that something? Is that possible that a man can be so deceived that he's living a complete life of sin while thinking his whole life is dedicated to God? That's what he's saying his life was. In fact, he proved it by persecuting Christ in the person of his saints. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. was then that which was made death unto me? Sorry, what was that then which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like condemnation. That's what that is. The law of God magnifies condemnation. It magnifies sin. Why? Why does God do this to us? So that we can see our condition and die and go to Christ for help, realizing we are not the holy people we think we are. Rather, we are sinful and we are on the road to death and without hope, in need of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now he's referring back to, you know, I was trying to do this. I was trying to keep the law. I was trying to be married to Christ, but I couldn't do it. Everything I did was sinful. I couldn't do it. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. For what I hate, that I do. Now, this is describing, right, the marriage to the flesh. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. So I'm making an agreement. In my heart, I don't want to do these things. And I see that the law condemns these things. So sin is our enemy. I'm in agreement with the law. I see that the law is good. So there's not a problem with the law. The problem is what? Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Well, he's saying very straightforward. It's not me. It's sin that's dwelling in me. The problem I have is I can't control it. That's what he's saying. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do it. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would, that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's a complete slave to sin in that condition, being married to the flesh. This is what he's saying. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So here he's, this is it. This is the cry that we should all have. Who's going to deliver me from this? This body that, this whole description, this battle that you're just talking about, losing battle, is a description of death, spiritual death. Who's going to deliver me from this body that is going to lead me to destruction? Who is going to deliver me, because I can't do it? I don't know anybody that can do it. Who can do it? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, he's not saying we have the choice. We do, but this is not what he's saying. What he's saying is, prior to being baptized and prior to being raised and receiving the newness of life and having the Holy Spirit, being a partaker of the Holy Spirit and being at one with Christ, prior to that, all I could do was sin. There was no hope for me. But now, because of Jesus Christ, now I know what to do. Now I understand how to live a life of faith. It's a choice that I make through my mind and through the Spirit. So now I can choose Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I can serve God with my mind. I no longer need to serve the flesh. It's over. That marriage is dead and over. Praise God? Absolutely. Now, we're going to go into chapter 8, where it looks like we'll be finished just on time here. Just got a few verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we are married to Christ, one Spirit. We no longer walk after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit. This is what takes away the condemnation. There's a false gospel out there that tells you that at the cross, Christ died and he took away the condemnation of the world, and everybody's been forgiven. It's in our Adventist church. It's in our church. The study starts out with this, how God saved you in Christ. It's a complete, it will leave you enslaved to sin if you believe that gospel. But this is the truth, what we're looking at here. This is the power of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And how is it that we got into Christ Jesus? Through baptism. Who walk not after the flesh. That's a daily choice. Every single day we choose, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm no longer going to serve the flesh. When temptation comes up, I'm going to overcome by the grace of God. But I'm going to walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to live like that anymore. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, the flesh was trying to keep the law, but the law couldn't do it because my flesh is so weak, I kept sinning. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, not us. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that now every single child of God, everyone who has been baptized into Jesus Christ, can live this life. And if we should fall and if we should sin, we have no need to fear. We have no need to think that God has forsaken us, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we sin and ask for forgiveness, he is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is beautiful. I'm going to stop right there for now. But this is something that we need to get into our minds and in our hearts and live by. And I'm going to explain, I shared this with you last time, but I'm sharing with you again. We understand what happened as in the Old Testament when a man sinned, when a woman sinned, the head of the household would go with a lamb, with an offering, right? The sin was transferred, the sin to the lamb, to the blood, to the priest, to the sanctuary. When that man left, he was cleansed and forgiven. Not because of the blood of bulls and goats, we know that doesn't take away sin, but because he would look forward by faith unto the time that Christ would come and become the true sacrifice for all sins, for all people, both Jew and Gentile. And so now when we sin, we can ask God for forgiveness. We can repent and truly be sorrowful for our sins and ask God to forgive us of our sins. And when we do that, at the slightest mention or sign of repentance, Jesus steps in and says, Father, I will take their place. Let their sins be upon me. So our sins are taken away. Realize this. Taken away. The sin, its guilt, its condemnation, its deserving of the second death, is taken from us and placed upon Jesus. At that moment, not 2,000 years ago, at that moment, and the reason the plan of salvation is that is because that's what we need at that moment. We need the assurance that God will take our sins away from us. Then he takes Jesus' perfect life that he lived on this earth and places it into our account in heaven and looks upon us as though we had never sinned, declares us to the universe as his righteous, beloved sons and daughters in whom he's well pleased. Then he imparts the righteousness of Christ into our soul temples so that we can live the life that Christ lived. So we can be those who have the patience of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The sin and its effect is taken from us. We are freed. We are truly cleansed. My question to you is, do you believe that? Do you trust that God will do that for you? If you say yes, praise God. And my appeal to you is, serve God from your heart. Serve God from the Word of God. Learn the plan of salvation. We are told back 100 years ago that not one in 100 understand the plan of salvation for themselves. And today, with so many people and so many strange doctrines infiltrating our church, you can be assured that it's more than that. But we need to understand righteousness by faith. We need to understand Christ our righteousness and live our lives according to that truth, a life of faith, a life of commandment keeping, being the sons and daughters of God. Those who will come to the time in this earth's history where Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness, and then shall the end come. Thank you. God bless you. I hope you have a beautiful good night's rest in the spirit, and that when you wake tomorrow, you will be willing to have God take your will and to give you the will of Christ, to live the life of Christ, and to be a blessing to everyone that you come in contact with this coming Sabbath.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Norman. That was well done. Thank the Holy Spirit for using you mightily to show how repentance of sin is so plain. You know, in the Bible, we read these texts and these verses, and yet, you know, it's just coming to life. The more you read it, the more you see it, it just made plain. So I just thank the Lord for using you mightily to show us and to teach us this this truth from the Bible. And thank you again. I pray that my brothers and sisters were truly blessed as I was blessed. And I will have to read it again. It's so powerful. And I am just reminded of 2 Corinthians 2:20. I'm paraphrasing. It said, well, let me read it. I just found it. 2 Corinthians 2:20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Amen. Amen. And that's for me and for each and every one of us, brothers and sisters. So please be blessed. Have a good night. Happy Sabbath, my brothers and sisters. And I hope to hear you back on the prayer line to come and share your testimony, your prayer requests, and for Pastor Norman to come back, because his messages are just so plain and just beautiful. And we all have gifts and talents. So I just thank you, the Lord, again, for using him mightily. Kind and loving Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your precious gift of life and eternal life, Lord, if we trust, we believe, confess our sins, oh, Father. We want to be with you. You're looking for a people who is holy without spot or wrinkle, oh, Father. Help us, oh, Lord, to be those people, Lord. Help us, oh, Lord, to confess our sins and forsake them, oh, Lord, and turn from our wicked ways so that we can serve you, oh, Lord. We thank you. We praise you, and we just want to glorify and magnify your name this holy Sabbath day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Jesus love you, brothers and sisters. Be blessed.